Sunday, February 15th, 6th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Sirach chapter 15, verses 15 through 20. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. Haydock Commentary. God's commandments would never be imposed if man were not free. The law written on the heart as well as on the tablets of stone shows man his duty, and he has free will to comply with it. See Deuteronomy 30:15 and Jeremiah 21:8. The second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him, this God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Haydock Commentary. We speak a wisdom to those who are mature. That is, when we first came amongst you, you were incapable of understanding the great mysteries of our religion. We therefore preach to you Christ crucified, but to the true perfect disciples of Christ we reveal the most sacred mysteries. So says St. John Chrysostom. By wisdom, here seems to be understood a more sublime doctrine concerning the most abstruse mysteries of faith, which the ignorant could not understand. To the same purpose he tells them in the next chapter, and in the fifth chapter to the Hebrews, that milk is the proper food of little children, not solid meat, which is proper for those that are perfect. We speak not the wisdom of this world, nor of the great men and princes of this world, because the doctrine of the Christian faith which we preach is not esteemed wisdom but folly by them who pretend to worldly wisdom. We speak then in a mystery, or after a mysterious manner, according to the capacity of those that hear us, the great wisdom of God, which, hidden and not understood by the wise men of this world, God hath manifested by the incarnation of his Son and by our redemption. Which mystery and which wisdom none of the princes of this world knew, that is, the devils, according to the common interpretation, or Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas, and others, according to St. John Chrysostom. Or they would never have crucified, nor have permitted others to crucify the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, who by his divine person is truly the Lord of glory. But to us God hath revealed them by his Spirit, that is, these mysteries and secrets of the divine wisdom. For the Spirit searcheth all things, that is, the divine Spirit, the Holy Ghost, searcheth all things, and none but this Spirit of God, that is, the Spirit which is God, knoweth the things that are of God, as none but the Spirit that is in man knoweth the things of man, knoweth his thoughts and interior affections. But by the Spirit of God we may understand the Spirit of grace, of knowledge, of prophecy, which God hath given to his faithful, and particularly to his apostles, to raise them to a higher knowledge of the divine mysteries. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce." But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, "Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow." But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. Hadak Commentary. The scribes were the doctors of the law of Moses, and the Pharisees were a precise set of men making profession of a more exact observance of the law, and upon that account they were greatly esteemed among the people. See how necessary it is not only to believe, but to keep all the commandments, even the very least. Our Savior makes this solemn declaration at the opening of his mission to show to what a height of perfection he calls us. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. Christians are truly just and have in themselves inherent justice by observing God's commandments, without which justice of works no man can be saved. So says St. Augustine. Whereby we see salvation, justice, and justification do not come by faith only or by imputation of Christ's justice. Whosoever is angry with his brother. In almost all Greek copies and manuscripts, we read, "angry without cause." Yet St. Jerome, who corrected the Latin of the New Testament from the best copies of his time, tells us that these words, "without a cause," were only found in some Greek copies and not in the true ones. St. Augustine thinks the word "raka" was no significant word, but only a kind of interjection expressing a motion of anger. Others take it for a Syro-Chaldaic word, signifying a light, foolish man, though not so injurious as to call another a fool. Calling someone a fool was a most provoking injury when uttered with contempt, spite, or malice. Gehenna was the valley of Hinnom, near to Jerusalem, where the worshippers of the idol Moloch used to burn their children, sacrificed to that idol. In that place was a perpetual fire, on which account it is made use of by our Savior to express the fire and punishments of hell. Here we see a plain difference between sin and sin, some mortal that lead to hell, some venial and less punished. Man is bound in his heart and mind to be reconciled, to forgive everyone, and seek peace with all men before offering a sacrifice. Beware of coming to the holy table or to any sacrament without charity. Be first reconciled to your brother, and much more to the church, which is the whole brotherhood of Christian men. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way, that is, in this life, lest you be cast into prison, that is, according to St. Cyprian, St. Ambrose, and Origen, into purgatory, according to St. Augustine, into hell, in which, as the debt is to be paid to inflexible justice, it can never be acquitted, and of course no release can be hoped for from that prison. Jesus Christ here perfects the old law, which makes no mention of the acts of the mind and will. Whatever is an immediate occasion of sin, however near or dear it may be, must be abandoned, though it prove as dear to us or as necessary as a hand or an eye. A divorce or separation may be permitted for some weighty causes in Christian marriages, but even then, he that marries her that is dismissed commits adultery. As to this, there is no exception. The bond of marriage is perpetual, and what God hath joined, no power on earth can separate. The knot of marriage is so sacred a tie that the separation of the parties cannot loosen it, it being not lawful for either of the parties to marry again upon a divorce. So says St. Augustine. We must not imagine that Christ forbids all oaths where there is a just and necessary cause of calling God to witness. An oath on such an occasion is an act of justice in religion. Here he forbids unnecessary oaths in common discourse, by which the sacred name of God, which never ought to be pronounced without reverence and respect, is so frequently and scandalously profaned.